Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation today is from our gospel lesson from Luke 11, specifically the words, the Lord's Prayer, as they appear in Luke, and I would encourage you to have this out and take a look at it and follow along during the course of the message today. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. This is our text. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thus begins the Lord's Prayer. Probably the most well-known and most famous prayer on the face of the earth. I mean, if we don't pray the Lord's Prayer every single day, chances are we pray it at least once a week. As Christians, it's just part of our lives. Chances are your parents taught you the Lord's Prayer as they put you to sleep or as you were sitting around the kitchen table. I was visiting with a member of ours a couple of months ago. She's suffering from dementia. And when I was visiting her in the nursing home, she really didn't know who I was. She kept saying, "You know, you look a lot like Pastor Jennings." Well, that's because I am him. But she did remember Trinity Lutheran Church and going to Trinity and everything. And I was going through the communion liturgy, kind of wondering in the back of my head, should I really be giving her communion? But then we got to the Lord's Prayer, and it was amazing. She doesn't even remember who her spouse is, and yet she remembered every single word of the Lord's Prayer. That's how wonderful this prayer is. That's how important it is to us. When somebody can't remember their spouse, and yet they jump right in praying the Lord's Prayer. Well, in our text for today, we see Jesus praying. And he does this often. He goes off by himself so he can be alone with his Father, and he prays. And as you read through the two books that Luke writes, he writes Luke and the book of Acts. And you'll find that before all the major events that happen in that book, Jesus is in prayer. Right after his baptism, we see Jesus praying as the Holy Spirit descends from him onto him. Before Jesus calls his disciples, he's really engaged in prayer. Before his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's in the garden praying there for 3 hours. And, well, as he's hanging from the cross itself, Jesus is really engaged in prayer even as he's being crucified from the cross. So after seeing him go off and pray, one of the disciples comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Now, looking at that text again, it's very, very important that you notice. The disciple doesn't ask, "Jesus, will you teach us to pray?" He doesn't go up to Jesus and say, "Jesus, please teach us to pray." No, the disciple's statement is in the form of an imperative. It's a command. "Jesus, teach us to pray." You see, he sees that what Jesus is doing is so important that he doesn't ask Jesus to teach him. He demands Jesus to teach him. You'll notice if you take a look at the Lord's Prayer, as it's found here in Luke, that it's just a little bit different from what we pray day to day in church. Matthew's version is a little bit closer to what we pray, but even that version doesn't have the ending, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen." That doxology is added to the text of Matthew sometime in the second century. So it was not part of the original, but it is a very fitting ending for the prayer. It's also easy to notice that Luke just begins this prayer very abruptly. "Father," No, our Father, not even our Father who art in heaven. He just begins, Father. But you know what? That's okay. It's much better than beginning the prayer, Dear Sir. I mean, that would just be kind of like really boring. Or starting the prayer out, Almighty and Exalted Creator. You know, that's just a little bit aloof. It just doesn't feel right. No, the thing that Jesus is trying to get across is that we have a relationship with God, our Creator. He is our Father, and as our Father, there's an attachment there. He loves us, and we love Him. His job, His responsibility, His duty is to take care of us. And we are reminded of that each and every time we pray this prayer, that we are in a relationship with God and that we benefit from this relationship. And one way to build up that relationship is to pray and to talk to our Father in heaven each and every day. Now, the next part of the prayer, hallowed be your name, that's what we usually say. We usually take it as a statement, you know. Yes, God, your name is holy. But what the text really says is, Father, make your name holy. And by holy, we don't mean perfect without sin. We mean set apart, be distinct, be different. The big important difference of what's going on here is that Jesus, or God, is doing the action. God is making His name holy. He is making His name holy, set apart, distinct, and different. It's not us doing the action here. We're not the ones doing the action here. It's God doing it. God, make your name holy among us. I mean, look around the world. The world isn't using God's name in any good way. The world could care less about God, but we in the church, we want God around. And so we are praying for God to make His name holy, distinct, different around us each and every day of our lives. Let me see. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, or thy kingdom come. By kingdom, we don't mean a place. We aren't praying for the place of God's kingdom to come to us. No, by thy kingdom come, we are talking about the power of the king to reign. The power of the king to reign. That's what we're talking about. And we're asking God to come down and reign among us. You know, Luther, in his explanation to the Lord's Prayer, says something along the lines that we know that God's kingdom comes without our prayer, but we ask for Him to come and to reign among us. We're asking God to come down and take control, aren't we? God's kingdom come to us in His Word and in the sacraments, especially in the Lord's Supper, where heaven comes down to earth and we praise God and we receive the supper with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. So as we pray the Lord's Prayer just before Holy Communion, like we're going to do this morning, we are anticipating that His kingdom would come to us in that sacrament. And we look forward to God coming down to us and taking control of our lives through that word and sacrament. Next, we pray, don't let us starve to death, or give us our daily bread. And actually, more accurately, it should be the needful or needed bread give to us each day. That's what the Greek text says. The needed or needful bread give to us each day. And it's strange that that word needed or needful doesn't show up in our English translation, but it's there in the Greek. In other words, Lord, keep us alive with what we need. We realize that everything comes from God, so we go straight to God, straight to the source, and ask Him for everything that we need in our lives each and every day. And then after we pray for our needful bread, our needful daily bread, we pray for something else that we need so much each and every day. And forgive us our sins. The word forgive literally means to send away. It's the same word as the word divorce. Send our sins as far away from us as you can. Divorce us from our sins. Get rid of them completely. And that's what God did on the cross. So you got to understand, even as we're praying this prayer and asking God for forgiveness, the job's already been done. Jesus has already died for our sins. He's already divorced us from our sins. He's already sent them away. They're gone. But we pray this in the prayer so that we realize that they're gone. And now the next part, you know what? We really get this wrong. We pray, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we kind of take it as in, okay, we have to forgive our neighbors so that God will forgive us. Isn't that the way we do it? We forgive our neighbors, so, you know, forgive our trespasses as God forgives us. But that is not the right way. It's not even close to what it means. What it really means is that when God divorces our sins from us, it results in our ability to forgive others. We can forgive because God has forgiven us. And while God forgives our sins, we forgive our neighbor's debts. It's a different word. God forgives our sins, we forgive our neighbor's debts. And that's kind of reflected in the text here. Yeah, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. That reflects more of what the text says. So it uses two different words, sins versus debts. What they owe us, we are forgiving. And really what that shows is a relationship between us and our neighbors. We're all in the same place. We're all in the same boat together. We're in this thing together. So in forgiving our neighbors, it shows that we're in the same boat and that we're all in the same place and we're trying to build unity. We're trying to bring everyone together. Finally, and lead us not into temptation. Literally, it means don't carry us into travail. The fact of the matter is, God would never do that. The Bible tells us that God himself tempts no one. Just the opposite. He takes care of us. He watches over us. He is our Father who loves us and forgives us and has provided us with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There's no way he's going to pick us up and lead us into travail or lead us into temptation. So that's it. That's the Lord's Prayer as it's presented to us in the book of Luke. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. To be sure, the Lord's Prayer is very important to us, given to us right from Jesus Christ himself. It is the most important prayer, the greatest prayer there ever is. It is such a huge part of our life and a wonderful part of our faith. It covers literally every single aspect of what we need each and every day. And yet how often as we're praying the Lord's Prayer together is our mind somewhere else, you know? We know this thing so well that we can pray the Lord's Prayer and our mind will be thinking about, what am I having for breakfast after church is over? But there is so much meaning in their prayer that books and books could be written on it. May God use this prayer to bring us closer to him, to bring us closer to one another until that day when he finally takes us home. In Jesus' name, amen.